Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Inbound pass comes to Arkansas. Bounce to Black. No foul. And Arkansas survives. The defending champs do not. 72-71. They'll be calling the Hogs all night in Des Moines. The eighth seed knocks out the returning champion Jayhawks.
We're joined by Ricky Council IV. What do you think of that? Eric Musselman doesn't have a shirt on.
I've seen it before. I think he did it once last year after the Auburn game. This is the second number one seed we done beat.
Anderson into right center field. Tim Anderson the opposite way, all the way to the wall. And he's looking for three. It is another Team USA triple. What a couple of days for Tim Anderson.
Well, he's a pure hitter. And again, he's not trying to hit a ball 450 feet, although he can. He's trying to go to right center, left center, let the ball come deep. And his stroke is so good. And he's the kind of hitter that you would, I mean, this is not after the fact. This is not second guessing, but he's the kind of hitter that would thrive in a tournament like this at this time of the year, in my opinion.
Calling NCAA upsets for Westwood One on the radio, the WBC with John Smoltz on Fox Sports. He's the voice of everything. He's the most talented broadcaster in America. He's got a great gig because you never know what he's going to be doing next. Jason Benetti with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Where do we find you today, Benetti? What's the next gig?
I am home, Danny Parkins. I am home in my office, hanging out, watching Ted Lasso.
Oh, how's the new season?
Just started before I hopped on with you, so I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Okay, yeah, we all need a little bit more Ted Lasso in our lives. But they're just dripping it out, right? Week by week, we got to wait. We can't binge it this time. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. I'm terrified by that because I'm not a big, like, hey, let's wait for next week sort of guy. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for me.
Yeah, not a big patience guy. What is your favorite thing to call? You did basketball on the radio. You do everything on TV. What's your favorite thing to call?
I'm supposed to say that I love doing whatever I'm doing right in the moment, and that is 1,000,000% true. I don't want people to think, no. I'm going to give you an actual answer. Your gag reflex, you can take that somewhere else.
All right, my bad.
So my deal is this. You know, when you first get to Syracuse University, you show up at that radio station and, like, there is something about the craft of doing radio. The best day of my year, best one single day of my year, other than, like, calling a division championship, but I'm not in control of that, right? And I got to get hired to do this. The best one single day of my year is doing four radio basketball games in one day. It is amazingly electric for my brain. It is great fun. And I happen to this year get to do it with a really good friend, and I think the best analyst under 40 in any sport in the country, in Robbie Hummel.
That's a pretty good answer. That's a pretty good answer. How intense is that day prep-wise for you?
Dude, it's so fun. It is so fun. It's like you wait for the bracket to come out, and you're like, this year, since I was working with Fox now, doing Big Ten, Big East, I was like, all right, give me a couple Big Ten teams, give me a couple Big East teams. I knew Kansas was going to be in Des Moines. I had the assignment about 2 weeks in advance, so I built my Kansas stuff. before like the conference tournament even. So I had that one done. I was like, if I catch a couple Big Ten and Big East teams, we are cooking. And we got Illinois. I had basically every other Big Ten team, but I never had Penn State this year. And I was like, come on, what are we doing? Like, but, you know, I had not touched the SEC, so Arkansas was new for me. Howard, I just watched the conference championship, fortunately. So I had six to build, but it's super fun. You know, we get some packets from the CBS folks and from Westwood One Radio, so it's helpful. But it is like the greatest crush ever, because your curiosity just starts to fire. Like, what can I add? What little details are there? But I totally get where Len Casper was coming from when he came over to the Sox. And like, people always ask me, like, okay, what's the real story about Len coming over to the White Sox? Yeah, he loves doing radio. He just loves it. And I adore doing radio basketball, especially. Like, I did six seasons of radio basketball at High Point University in North Carolina because I love it. It's just, it sparks my mind. It's like a puzzle, and I get really juiced for it.
It's a good answer. Jason Benetti, Westwood. Are you calling Sweet 16 Elite Eight games, or are you done?
I'm not. Spring training on the 23rd. We have our last telecast, and then I'm actually going on vacation for a couple days.
Oh, good for you. Well deserved. Started the show with this, like, March Madness, the quality of the games and like can often be bad, but we love it. I think it's the randomness, the single elimination nature of it. The WBC captivates our sports culture right now. Obviously, another single elimination tournament after they get out of group play. Is there another place in sports we could inject single elimination and make the sports world better? Because I think it's the ultimate thing. It's like a game seven every game. Is there anywhere we could add it to make sports better?
Oh, dude, that's a really good question. I truly think I'm a better announcer because I called Syracuse's loss to Vermont my senior year in college.
Yeah.
Like, we were getting ready to go to Sweet 16, and they lost to TJ Sorrentin from the parking lot. Like, I was crushed for years because of that, because like the players, your collegiate career is over. Like, I wasn't playing, but I wasn't doing another game with my friends ever again. So, like, the emotion of it is an 11 out of 10. Single elimination to another sporting event while still doing it justice. Man, I it's really hard to do that with baseball because it's, you know, the wild card round, we've kind of already done it and people say it's really unfair. I think it would be really interesting if every week of Formula One or NASCAR or IndyCar, the two last place cars were out of the circuit.
Like relegation.
The battles for not even relegation. You just go to the garage. Like, you get sent to Radiator Springs in cars parlance, right? Like, you're done. You're done. So I think, like, as the weeks went on, that battle to stay out of last place would be believable.
I think it's a good answer. The NBA is trying to do a mid-season tournament, and that'll be single elimination. And I'm fascinated to see how it goes, because the NBA playoffs are great because they crown the truest champion. But if it's Bulls Bucks in the first round and the whole intrigue is, are they going to lose in four or five? There's not a massive tune-in factor. I would be curious for an economist to look at it and say the ratings would go up X. Would X be enough to make it say the inventory is less, but the tune in is more, and therefore it's worth it to kind of try to bring March Madness to the NBA? Because we know it works in basketball, and it would bring some randomness to that sport that I think it could really use.
You could argue for like a single elimination for 16 through 11. Right. And you would have, do you get to stay alive or don't you in the tournament? You know, as I reevaluate the Formula One thing, the one thing you would be missing is the look on people's faces, because you're under a helmet and you're driving.
Right.
And so I do think you kind of need the Adam Morrison thing that has become that commercial now. Right. Like, Adam Morrison's face is indelible forever. You just, in a world when a lot of people feel like, well, that post was done by his people, or like, this athlete is just sort of saying this because it's PR spin or whatever, you don't spin those emotions. Like, that is as real as can be. And I think that's, I think it's a really interesting question. I got to think about that more because I do think the one and done thing, it's like as close to like walking off the planet as you can feel.
Yeah, I agree. It's why we care about these sporting events that we otherwise don't care about. Like just pure like that. It's that like the World Cup, and I know that's probably sacrilege to some people, but like that's I don't watch a lot of college basketball regular season anymore. I don't miss a minute of the tournament. Single elimination is the biggest reason for that, at least for me. Jason Benetti, the voice of everything, is with us. So you've called spring training games with the new rules. You've called World Baseball Classic games without them. How jarring is the back and forth now?
Yeah, I think people, after about a month of this baseball season, my inkling is people will say, I never want to go back. Really, truly. That's my feeling. Just with the timer, right? I don't know about the shift. I don't know how people are going to feel about that. I don't know about the disengagement, although I feel like the running game is, based on the numbers I've seen in spring training, we're going to see a lot more stolen base attempts across Major League Baseball, and we might even see different roster decisions that quickly about what people are doing offensively. You know, one question I haven't seen get mulled over a whole lot, but I was sort of kicking the tires with a friend of mine in baseball earlier today, and this could be a question that means nothing, but or it could be something by the end of the season. I just wonder, with batters in a little bit more of a hurry, they're going to square up the ball less. And I don't really have an inkling on that one way or the other. It might be the same. We might see home runs increase. But I just wonder if batters having less time to really lock in and mull it over will lead to less good contact. I don't know the answer.
I think that's part of the fun of this, right? Because they've tinkered with it one way, and they can tinker back the other if they feel the need.
Yeah, and there's no sacrilege there.
Right.
Baseball's, we talked about it. Stoney and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Baseball's changed rules over and over again. That just happens. I mean, John Smoltz and I had a similar conversation during one of those WBC games. You're incentivizing players to do things that you think the fans want to see. That's not sacrilege. That's the way these games have always gone. I mean, everybody at their house has their own Monopoly rules because the game gets boring a little bit. Like, we didn't play with dollar bills in Monopoly. We rounded up in the Benetti household because we were big shooters when it comes to St. James Place. Like, everybody's got their own rules. You change them because it feels fun to you. So I think baseball doing this is, you know, baseball gets lit up sometimes for being antiquated. I give them a lot of credit for doing this.
Did you buy every property that you landed on, or did you try to save up for like Park Place and Boardwalk?
What are you waiting for? Let me just ask you, what are you waiting for if you're not going to buy it? If you're going to land on it, what are you waiting for? I won enough Monopoly games with Mediterranean and Baltic.
Yeah.
That like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Get properties. Every neighborhood has a real big positive.
Right. Once you put a hotel on it, the other players are playing the premium. It's a quantity game. I'm with you completely.
And by the way, you can demoralize the heck out of people if you Baltic them to death. They want to quit. They start making trades. They get loose. It's like poker a little bit. Like, people go on tilt in Monopoly, and I don't think there's enough studies on that.
That's a great point. Jason Benetti, the voice of the White Sox and everything else, is our guest. So we've learned. So MLB is trying things. We like that. It's past time. What can it learn or steal from the World Baseball Classic in terms of environment or anything else to make it an even better product?
I've thought this since doing Korean baseball from my living room, and realizing
that's a fun sentence.
How much of a it is a fun sentence to say when you're no longer doing it.
Yes,
But I did learn a lot about the culture there and doing the Olympics, getting a feel for what baseball's like in Japan. And I've never been to the Dominican in the winter, but I would love to go. I do think the atmosphere at baseball games in other countries absolutely trumps the atmosphere in this country. I think the Mexico game was as loud and as like, we're going to stay till the finish line-ish as I've ever seen a crowd in a Major League Baseball game. I've not done a World Series, but I had people telling me it felt like a World Series, and other people have said that. I think Mike Trout said that after the game the other day. One of the Team USA players did, or somebody said. So I think the more joy, the more noisemakers, the more ridiculousness in the stands, the better. I think it should feel more like Mardi Gras than it does.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know if you've ever been to Mardi Gras. Going to a baseball game doesn't really feel anything like Mardi Gras.
No, Mardi Gras. I've been to Vegas on New Year's Eve, and that is just absolute bodies in the streets by 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, we're going to Vegas on Wednesday, and we're hoping that Shane will be in the streets. So we're hoping to have a good time.
Hey, I woke up to that dreaded 20 number on my mentions because of Shane this morning. I woke up to the Twitter mentions that nobody wants to wake up to. I was like, oh boy, what'd I do? And Shane was very, very kind. So thank you, Shane. I really appreciate what you said on Twitter. It was very, very nice of you and mostly completely and totally undeserved.
Do you think that that'd be enough to get him a shout out on White Sox TV this year, finally?
No, I think I'm actually going to dig in harder and find ways to circle around his name.
So you acknowledge it then? You're acknowledging it, that you guys purposely leave me off.
You're so salty. The first time I did it was from the studio, and I was like, I think it is, but I don't, like, I'm not sure. We had you on camera the one time, right? I wasn't certain it was you, and so I talked around it, and then it just became a bit. So, yes, acknowledging it here on the show means that I am going to dig in harder. This is America. You take your opinion and you fortify it.
Tanny's going to lead the show in shout-outs again, obviously.
Chris Tannehill loves it more than anything in the world.
Then it'll be a debate between me and Speaks for second and third, and Shane will once again come in a distant fourth. This gives me great, great pleasure. Benetti, do you think that there is anything to, like, oh, Moncada's having a great WBC. That's going to springboard him. It's everyone's worried about injuries and trying to assign positive or negative from the WBC to fit their narrative. Do you think any of it's going to matter in the middle of May?
The one thing I saw, and I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but the one thing I saw very early in the tournament, Yoan charged a ball. No, he didn't charge a ball. He dove and he stabbed a ball at third. Diving toward the line, and he threw across to first, got a final out of an inning for Team Cuba. He came running in, pumped his fist a couple times, high-fived a couple guys, fist-pounded a couple guys, and I'm telling you, it's a different emotion when you play for your country. We've seen that from other guys. I was very heartened to see a guy who sometimes really you don't know what emotion he's feeling based on his body language on a basket, on a baseball diamond. You just don't really have a good feel for what he's feeling. He had a different look about him in that tournament. And I was really heartened by that. I think the guys who played in this might have a rejuvenation factor about the game that could actually help bolster a season, at least early on.
I think that's what White Sox fans are hoping for. What did you make of the arguments when you saw guys like, you know, Moncada has the collision and obviously Diaz and Altuve, that it somehow is an anti-WBC argument?
24-hour news cycle is my first thought. My second thought is Robert Edwards got hurt playing beach volleyball at the Pro Bowl. Like,
yeah,
people get hurt doing stuff. Like, I hurt my knee a couple weeks ago doing a thing in Bill Walton's backyard, like leaping to dunk against him. But, like, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. But you know what? You have to live. I went up for a dunk against Bill Walton, which is the dumbest thing I've ever done. And he blocked the shot, and he was meant to block the shot. We were doing a bit. He blocked the shot. I came down, and I went back up again. And, like, an hour into the show, I was like, man, my knee does not feel great right now.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you and Bill Walton weren't playing a true game of one-on-one? It was just a bit? That's mind-boggling to me.
I got to tell you, the newest thing that he was doing during this show was he would turn to me and he'd say, call me when you have health challenges for the first time.
The Maui Jim Beach Boy.
Your guys is, like, buddy cop potential is I know you love Hummel, and you said it's the best day of your year is four games on the radio in one day, but Bill Walton's backyard's pretty good, man. Pretty good.
No, it's great. I mean, I don't know what the future of that is. I know, like, every year, for the past couple years at least, I've done the tournaments on radio, so I can set my watch by it a little bit more, because this thing in San Diego just kind of came out of nowhere this year. But, yeah, I mean, he's an absolute treasure. He's a ridiculous human being, and he's a great friend, and he has more bobbleheads in his house than I think any baseball team will give away in a decade.
Does he have a Jason Benetti bobblehead?
Nobody's made one of those yet. I say, see, I've been lobbying for a Jason Benetti bobbleleg doll.
And Brooks Boyer won't allow it?
Look, we haven't gotten there yet. I've been lobbying sort of, sub rosa. But I think now that I've put it out there, people would want a bobbleleg doll.
Oh, it would be amazing. We could raise money for charity. We could do a big giveaway, do a match, something like that. You could sign a couple of them. If the White Sox won't do it, can we commission one?
I mean, I'm totally down. The White Sox, there was one mention before we did the T-shirts last year. You are going to, I promise you, this will be a soundbite, or you will talk about it in some circle. They were going to do Benetti and Stone Chia Pet.
Your life is so stupid. Like, I was broadcasting
all of these sentences.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was broadcasting Korean baseball from my living room. I was in Bill Walton's backyard, and he blocked my shot, and I hurt my knee. I want a bobbleleg doll. They were discussing Benetti Chia Pets. I mean, pinch yourself, Benetti.
I am. I want a Stone Chia Pet, though. Like, can you imagine? It would grow to the hair that he had when he was pitching, and it would look very much like 70s Steve Stone.
You outsold him, right, on shirts? Do I remember that correctly?
It was very, very close. I actually never got an official tally on it. I never got the final number.
Yeah, but he would have been upset.
I think he doctored it.
He would have been upset if you sold more shirts than him, which is, I think, a low-key funny part of that whole competition.
You think he would have been Miles Teller in Whiplash?
Yeah, I think he would have been a little competitive about it. I do. I absolutely do.
I was competitive about it, too. Like, I wasn't going to yell, like, I'm upset to J.K. Simmons. But, you know, we're competitive people.
I'm just saying, if we track the purchase lists or whatever, the donation list on that, there might be, like, 100 shirts from a credit card linked to Steve Stone. That's all I'm saying.
A guy showed up at a Creighton basketball game I was doing with a Jason Benetti shirt on. And my stat guy was like, what?
Yeah, it's a weird fashion choice.
And I was like, yeah, it is, but it's amazing. I mean, you know, they were the thing I liked most about the shirt was the eye was true to form.
Absolutely. No, they nailed it. It was perfect. All right, Benetti, thank you as always for the time. Get back to Ted Lasso. Are you watching Shrinking, by the way? You would love it.
No, what is that? Is it just a person getting shorter? What is that?
No, it's also on Apple TV. It's Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. They're shrinks, and they're dealing with grief and loss, and it's a comedy. It's very good. You'd like it a lot.
And it's a comedy, he adds. It just sprinkles in. Their grief and loss, and people are dying, and man, is it funny.
Yeah. Hey, dark humor, okay? Ever heard of it?
Really went on a trip. No, I've never heard of that.
Listen, I'm just saying, it's a little anti-Ted Lasso, but you would enjoy it a great deal. I'm confident. Highest recommendation for Shrinking.
All right, I'm in. Thanks, Tanny. Thank you for everything. You're a fantastic producer.
Oh, I love you, Jason.
See you, Benetti.
You're welcome.
There he goes. That's Jason Benetti, voice of the White Sox and everything. A man who very clearly gets the show. That is spectacular on a number of levels.
I hate that guy, man.
So are we mad that I brought it up, or is it better this way? It felt natural in the moment to bring it up when he mentioned you from the tweets.
I think it would. Both things are funny. I think it's funny now that we know he's doing it on purpose. It would have also been funny if he just went the entire season without mentioning me one time.
But now you know at least that it isn't personal. He's just doing a bit. Because you were worried that he didn't like you, yes. That he had you muted. He was appreciative. You guys exchanged nice messages. So yes. Now we got to figure out a way to like trick him into saying your name or something like that. Like maybe you could have an exclusive White Sox report and he would have to be like,
I don't think I'm getting those
anymore. As reported by Shane Reardon.
Yeah, there was a while there that I just thought the guy despised me, and I had no idea why.
But no, but that's now we know that's not true.
Yeah,
our instincts were right. You remember last season when we were like, oh, that would have been a perfect time for Benetti to mention Shane when they had a guy with a beard on camera. Remember, we joked about that.
It was a big beard and a flannel and sunglasses.
And I think that's what he was referencing just now.
Yes.
Said, oh, didn't know if it was you or not.
So. Yeah, and he just texted, did you really say goodbye to... our guest, thank you, Jason. Go F yourself. Talk to you later.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did.
Man, relationship building at its finest.
He left.
No, I mean, obviously, you can't offend that guy. Oh, he said he wanted a bobble leg doll. I mean, that guy, he's the greatest. And I will echo what you said on Twitter. We are very, very lucky to have him in this town. That is spectacular.
You made a mistake starting this text thread, though.
Yeah, sure did.
That's a mistake, Jason. Gotta tell you.
Just don't put Joe Davis in it with us.
A thing we are not going to be very lucky to have in this town is coming this summer. And each new detail that I read about it is more mind-boggling than the last one. It's next on The Score.
Big headline, NASCAR is going street racing. Yes, on July 2nd of 2023, the Cup Series will race on the 2.2-mile street course in downtown Chicago. It'll be the first ever street course race for the series. We got 12 turns with this one that will go through the famed Grant Park.
How about new?
So... this is a wild story, and I will admit to not knowing every detail about this, but I've read quite a bit about it. But things are changing. There are some conflicting reports out there, and shockingly, in a story that involves Chicago politics, it's pretty convoluted. But Shane has been talking about how we need to discuss this for a while, and it's kind of crazy, man. So there's going to be a NASCAR race in Chicago, city track, 2.2 miles long, Lakeshore Drive, Columbus Drive, Balboa Drive, Jackson Drive. And the drivers get to go through Grant Park, basically right up to Soldier Field. They get to go within blocks of Soldier Field. So it's supposed to be like a cool city course on the lakefront, in the park, up against some monuments and some historical sites that I'm sure will be a very, very aesthetically pleasing NASCAR race, if that's the sort of thing that you're interested in. And the race is July 1st and 2nd. So, okay, kind of a cool concept, a new event, fine. Right? Like on the surface.
A very cool idea on the surface.
Absolutely.
Like that should net you millions of dollars in profits as a city.
I get why that's an appealing thing in the room for a pitch. Oh, that's never been done before. We can showcase the fact that we've got that much open space with the backdrop of the lake and the skyline. That's a unique thing that no other city really in the world can boast. I get it. Grant Park will be booked for 84 days between May 18th and August 13th for setting up, hosting, and tearing down events, according to Park District records obtained by Block Club. Nearly half of those 84 days are for the two-day NASCAR race. That's crazy. 26 days in advance to set it up. 13 days to tear it down. So 39 days this summer, Grant Park gets turned over to NASCAR. That is a crazy thing.
And the most important thing here, is, like people are sitting there, well, Taste of Chicago shuts down Grant Park, Lollapalooza shuts down Grant Park. Those events do not shut down Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
That's the biggest thing here.
And
on 4th of July weekend.
Well, and, right, because Lakeshore Drive won't be closed down for the whole time.
No, but for I think like 2 weeks.
It's going to be closed.
Portion.
Yeah, at least a portion for a while. And the money is apparently weak. Apparently NASCAR paid $500,000 for the permit and $2 per ticket sold. Lolla pays $16 million.
$16 million for less than half the time occupying less than half the space.
Okay. So It's going to take more time to set up and tear down. It's going to make a fraction of the cost. And it's not a Chicago institution like Lollapalooza.
No.
And so, again, this is where some stuff was conflicting. But one of the things that I read said there is no Taste of Chicago now.
They're moving it to September.
Okay.
But it's a stupid event anyway.
Chicago,
right?
I know you don't like it, but that is at least more of a Chicago event than NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Chicago tradition than NASCAR.
It's just easier to make all those foods in your own home.
Well, yeah, famously.
Right?
That is Shane's biggest
beef. No. Yeah. It's not easier to make it in your own home, but it is easier to just go to the damn restaurants.
That is easier.
And pay less than half of what you're paying.
Is confusing, man.
No.
In 110 degree heat and pay for a small sampling of at an exorbitant cost. Yeah.
Lori Lightfoot.
Here we go.
Jim. Here we go. Dumb woman.
Oh boy.
She is so stupid. Lori Lightfoot is.
How stupid is she?
She's so dumb. You get $16 million from Lollapalooza for about 17 total days of taking up Grant Park, right?
Yeah.
This woman left millions upon millions of dollars on the table from NASCAR, who in their own right will net somewhere between $25 and $30 million of profit from this event. You're going to get probably about 100,000 people out there. You're getting $2 per ticket. So 200 grand for that. You're paying the city $500,000 only to be a part of this city's summer for 30 days. And you're not giving us any money from concessions, from beer sales, from VIP, from corporate suites, nothing. NASCAR is taking 100% profit on all of that.
And it's a three-year deal with their option?
Yeah.
So if it goes well...
For 2026 and 2027.
They can just opt in.
Yeah.
And we got to go through the whole song and dance of the traffic inconvenience and shutting down the park and the whole thing and do that all over again. I was reading another Block Club article. They've done a great job covering the story.
They're awesome.
That people at the Shed say it could cost them millions of dollars.
It will.
That because it's going to be either impossible or very confusing on for how to get there. And normally 4th of July weekend's like their busiest weekend. And so much of it is just like foot traffic and, oh, let's go check out the Shed. Let's just walk up to the Shed. Let's go out. And they say between $2 and $3 million, they're estimating they could lose just on that weekend. And that's not even factoring in how difficult it could be logistically and how much of a traffic cluster F this could be for weeks before and after. Is Lakeshore Drive going to be fenced up? Looking ugly.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like...
It's going to be horrible.
Right. So, like, aesthetically, monetarily, convenience-wise, and it could be a multi-year issue. And we have the Chicagoland Speedway. So, is the whole thing just because they want to do the track in a unique spot?
Yeah, 100%.
That's the appeal, right?
And this would be 100% fine if they just got the money that it's worth for it. Like, you're inconveniencing an entire city for the next 5 years for a month each summer. Chicago summers pop off.
Well, yeah, it's the best part of the city.
This is, in my opinion, the greatest summer city in America.
Not even close,
right?
And not a unique opinion. Yeah, absolutely. It's great.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to go to my cousin's place. She lives on the river with a view of Lakeshore on her roof deck and watch the race. It'll be cool, but it's an incredible inconvenience, and you're getting $20 to $25 million less than you should be getting.
I'm just surprised.
And that might even be going under.
Yeah. It's a big swing, and I respect that idea and like trying to bring events to Chicago, but like reading about the logistical headache that it's going to be for a period outside of race time, that's the thing that kind of stopped me in my tracks. Like the financial negotiations part of it, hey, we made a bad business deal. Have you heard about our parking? But like, the length of time at which it's going to preclude the park from being used and the construction and the difficulty of walking onto museum campus and needing to go to 18th Street Bridge to get over. And like that's just – that really does fundamentally change the framework of Chicago in the summer.
It's like they sent Lori Lightfoot out there to make her first deal ever, having never done anything in politics or negotiation before. It's like your parents give you their debit card to go to the toy store by yourself, and you have no restrictions, and you've never even spent money before.
Every article I read about it puts a new detail into it that is kind of more unbelievable than the previous one. So we're going to follow the story because I'm just – I'm hoping, frankly, that it's being billed as worse than it's going to be. Like, if the city loses some money because they made a bad business deal, that sucks. But, I mean, we're not in the greatest financial shape in a lot of areas. One NASCAR race wasn't going to solve all of the problems. But, like, if it fundamentally affects how people use the park, how people use the museums, how people go to the aquarium, the traffic on Lakeshore Drive all summer long or for 40 days or 38 days, that is... The juice is just not worth the squeeze. And then it's not even worth it with the money component of it. But I'm just wondering, to me, that is almost the bigger story of like how much of a logistical inconvenience is it going to be for Chicagoans and Chicago tourists who come around on the front end and the back end of the race. And it makes what you're saying, oh, I mean, that's like the number one selling point of the city.
Yeah.
Best summer city in the world.
Yeah.
Like if it dampens that, that's going to be the real loss. Like 2 days in July for a NASCAR race. All right, fine, whatever. Couple million bucks here or there, okay, fine, whatever. But if for 40 days...
But see, it's not even a couple million bucks.
No, I know, I'm underselling that part.
You get 16
million
from Lala, you should be getting double that or more for double the time that NASCAR is taking.
It would seem like that's a logical thing, right? So it's a three-year deal. So that means there's a race here every year from 20... Like the next 3 years.
2023, 2024, 2025, every single year for the next 3 years, this will happen.
And then they have the option have to the make option. It for 2026 and 2027.
Yep.
So this
and
be
on top of that, for the next 3 years, our Dan Ryan construction project just started.
Well, yeah, no.
$150 million construction deal.
Yeah, I know. That's exciting.
Yeah. You can't even get here.
So in theory, the NASCAR is going to take over Grant Park and Museum Campus for the next five summers.
Yes. Sweet. That's correct.
Sweet.
NASCAR.
Sweet. That's wild, man.
NASCAR. Not even something cool like F1. Yeah. NASCAR and those.
Right, it's an exclusive deal with NASCAR for the track series. We have a speedway. That's going to be a huge summer story in this city. We'll be following it. More potentially bad news out of the world of baseball. It's next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Which is so amazing and loved by everyone.
Afternoons on The Score.
Back in, Parkinson Spiegel. Spiegs will be back tomorrow. We will be here on Wednesday. Then we'll be in Vegas doing the show Thursday and Friday. If you know anyone who's out there, have them come by Stadium Swim at Circa. Tell some friends. We want to see as many of the mob members out there as possible. Eloy Jimenez is back with the White Sox, and he left the game after two innings. Walk back to the White Sox facility with trainer James Kruk. This is from Chuck Garfine's Twitter account. And the White Sox announced that Eloy left the game with right calf cramping and is day-to-day. And, of course, that's after the Yoan Moncada collision. And we'll talk about Moncada a little bit more in detail coming up at 5 o'clock. But I thought that the argument that was being made by some, and Spiegs and I touched on it a bit after the Edwin Diaz injury and Keith Olbermann's, Twitter diatribe of lunacy. You can get hurt wherever, whenever. Eloy leaves this game with cramping today, right? It can happen in spring training. It can happen in the WBC. Obviously, Edwin Diaz's injury, jumping up and down, celebrating. You're not going to celebrate a spring game that way, but he could have celebrated a game like that in the regular season and gotten hurt, or if he was that likely to where it could be a non-contact thing, it could have happened going up and down the stairs, right? You can get injured anywhere. And these, all the athletes I've talked to, been around, whatever, they don't think like that. Like us NARPian, the non-athletic regular people, I think about getting injured all the time, getting hurt. Oh, that golf swing hurt. Oh, I woke up and I tweaked my neck. Or, oh, that Peloton ride really had me feeling sore. Or, man, I did yoga for the first time in a couple of weeks and my hamstrings are barking at me. Like, we're normal people. These guys are superheroes in their own mind. Doesn't mean they can't get hurt. Obviously, they're more aware of it than anybody, but they do more for injury prevention than anybody, too. Like, the idea of it is tough because, like, you might, and you could point out and you could say, wait a minute, but Parkus, you're the guy who wouldn't play anybody in preseason football games. correct. Football has the highest rate of injury, and those games don't mean anything. These WBC games mean something to the players. That's the difference. And you just can't change that fundamental fact on the ground. The injury risk of baseball is significantly less than football, and teams can, in some situations, block players from participating or participating in ways that they want to, but they'd be playing for their team if they weren't playing for the national team, gearing up for the season anyway. So players like to play with other great players. They like to play to represent their country. You just heard Benetti talk about hoping that it could be a springboard for guys and the real genuine belief that that's possible. As long as the players want to play in this sort of thing, it's going to happen. And Carter Hawkins talked about it with Mullion Hawn. He's going to be on with us tomorrow, the Cubs general manager. Like, of course the teams would be worried about it, but I don't really see anything you could do on a widespread notion. Like, because if you've got, hey, we've got a guy rehabbing, we don't want him to go. Okay, fine. But if you had a policy of we don't let our players compete in the WBC, that would be used against you in free agency. That would be a knock for your franchise. So some things in life come with acceptable risk. Moncada had a collision in the WBC. Eloy got left today's game in spring training. You can get hurt anywhere. So I think that argument mostly falls on deaf ears, especially because the teams have very limited power. As long as it matters to the players are going to play. Because if the teams kept them from playing on a widespread organizational mandate, that would be used as a mark against that team. So hopefully Moncada's okay. He seems like he is. Hopefully Eloy's okay. He seems like he is. We know that injuries were one of a few key factors that derailed the White Sox season last year. So I'm sure these Twitter, you know, updates, you're holding your breath. But these guys have had great springs, largely because of the WBC, and hopefully it means something for them going forward. Shane, what are you doing tonight?
Chicago Chefs Cook, which is a charity that just helps whomever needs it in the moment. They are doing something at Avli at the Park right behind the station here tonight for earthquake relief. We say support the people who support the show. And Joe Flam, owner and head chef at Rosemary, is part of this event tonight. So I'm going over there. Tickets are still available. Just Google search Chicago Chefs Cook, or I tweeted it and put it on my Instagram story too. It's $125, but you get to eat samples from some of the best restaurants in the city. Should be a ton of fun. Tickets still available for VIP and standard.
And it's at
Avli at the Park right behind us.
Yeah, it's at our guy Lou's place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, support Lou Canellis, support Joe Flam, support the Chicago restaurant scene, and earthquake relief, great cause. So, I mean, $125?
$125. You're going to spend that. That's booze, too. There's an open bar, and there's cocktail pairings and wine pairings. Yeah,
food and booze from the best restaurants in the city for charity?
Yep, 2 hours of eating and drinking, 6 to 8 tonight. I will be over there. Get a ticket if you're looking for last-minute dinner plans.
That's a great idea. That's a great deal, so check it out. And just what's the name of the event again?
Chicago Chefs Cook.
Just Chicago Chefs Cook, or go to Shane's Instagram.
Yep.
And you can find put it out on the Parkinson Spiegel Twitter account.
Yep.
As well. What is potentially in front of one of the most talented and at times confounding Chicago athletes? Next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.